The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We are coming to you live from our KPCG studio in Edmond, Oklahoma. And my name is Anthony Chibariwe. I'll be guest hosting today for your regular host, Stephen Fleury. You can get the live stream at kpcg.fm and also at thetrumpet.com. That's kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com. Well, today, I'd like to talk a good bit about Iran and North Korea. These are two nations which the Bush administration prominently featured on its list of the world's outposts of tyranny and the axis of evil. Now, those are obviously very condemning labels, and if you think that they are accurate and appropriate, please stick around for the show because we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So let's get started now with the show. It's Memorial Day here in the United States, so happy Memorial Day to all our American listeners. It really is a special day. It's one of those days when we all tend to put our differences aside and unite over a common cause. And that's a beautiful thing, especially in the world we live in today. We live in a world divided. And to make matters worse, it's a world that's divided on some of the most critical issues that we face. The really important issues. The life and death issues. And that shouldn't be the case. Listen to this clip from back in 2011. It's from then-President Barack Obama. Clip one.
And I believe that for all our imperfections, we are full of decency and goodness, and that the forces that divide us are not as strong as those that unite us. That's what I believe.
Well, that's what he believes. What do you believe? What do I believe? I really want to believe what President Obama said, but the sad reality is that the forces that divide us seem to be much stronger than the forces that unite us. Just watch the news. Look at social media. Look at the comments that are posted on almost any article or any YouTube video out there. President Obama said those words at a memorial service for the victims of a mass shooting in Tucson, Arizona. We seem to be so divided on critical issues such as mass shootings and gun control that we don't even focus on whatever it is that could unite us. We don't even think about that anymore. We don't even take time to think about that. Look at the divisions over the Iran nuclear deal. I think that we are so divided over this issue that we seem to have forgotten what it is we share in common. And we all know what it is. We all know what it is that we have in common. So today I want to dwell on that. I want to dwell a little bit more than usual on the one thing we can all agree on regarding the Iran nuclear deal. So think about this. I have a few questions I want to ask. What do liberals and conservatives have in common with regards to the Iran nuclear deal? What do Democrats and Republicans have in common with regards to the Iran nuclear deal? What does the United States and Europe have in common with regards to the Iran nuclear deal. What does President Donald Trump have in common with European leaders like Britain's Theresa May, Germany's Angela Merkel, France's Emmanuel Macron? What does the EU foreign policy chief Federica Mogherini have in common with U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo? Well, here is the answer. They all know that Iran is a dangerous regime. They all know that Iran has been lying about its nuclear ambitions. They all know that Iran can easily become a nuclear power. Now, these are very, very important realities to agree on and unite around, because it's a matter of human survival. Nuclear weapons are real. The last time they were used in war was well over 70 years ago. But over all those years since that time, those weapons have become even more real, even more sophisticated, and more deliverable, and more widespread. You know, here on KPCG.fm and at thetrumpet.com, we talk a lot about the dangers posed by Iran. And some of our critics accuse us of fear-mongering and demonizing Iran. But all we do is talk about the obvious reality, the plain truth, and we use Bible prophecy to guide us. And Bible prophecy is very practical. It gives us a better understanding of the obvious reality around us. And almost all world leaders want to stop Iran from having nuclear weapons. Almost all politicians know that Iran lies about its nuclear weapons program. Almost all politicians and world leaders fear a nuclear-armed Iran. But why are we so divided over the Iran nuclear deal? Why? Well, it's because we are divided over how to deal with the dangerous and deceitful Iran. In fact, most of that anger and the division over this is because of just how dangerous Iran is. It's so dangerous, we are so divided over it. We are fighting against each other because of just how dangerous Iran is. So why not just focus more on that part a little bit? That Iran is a dangerous nation. This is the reality that we have to all face and think about. Those who support the deal think that breaking it will speed up Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons. And those who are breaking the deal think that supporting it will speed up Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons. Now, notice this few comments that came after the United States pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal. The first one here is from President Donald Trump himself. He said this: the Iran deal is defective at its core. If we do nothing, we know exactly what will happen. In just a short period of time, the world's leading state sponsor of terror will be on the cusp of acquiring the world's most dangerous weapons. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that the deal was a recipe for disaster. A disaster for our region, a disaster for the peace of the world. He said Israel has opposed the Iran nuclear deal from the start because we said that rather than blocking Iran's path to a bomb, the deal actually paves Iran's path to an entire arsenal of nuclear bombs, and this within a few years' time. The removal of sanctions under the current deal has already produced disastrous results. The deal didn't push war further away, it actually brought it closer. The deal didn't reduce Iran's aggression, it dramatically increased it. Now, I want you to contrast that with some of these comments. I'll start with the comment from former President Barack Obama. He wrote this: the United States could eventually be left with a losing choice between a nuclear-armed Iran or another war in the Middle East. Senator Mark Warner, he's a top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, he said that pulling out of the agreement will only succeed in driving a wedge between us and our allies and will effectively greenlight Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons. And the leaders of France, Germany, and the United States issued a joint statement saying this: "It is with regret and concern that we take note of President Trump's decision to withdraw the United States of America from the nuclear deal. This deal remains the binding international legal framework of the resolution of the dispute about the Iran nuclear program." So this is what the proponents of the nuclear deal have been saying. But listen now to what the Iranian leaders said after the United States pulled out of the deal. The Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said something amounting to a threat against President Trump. He said, "The body of this man, Trump, will turn to ashes and become the food of worms and ants while the Islamic Republic continues to stand." And the Iranian President Hassan Rouhani said that, "If necessary, we can begin our industrial enrichment without any limitations." So why is it that instead of focusing on how dangerous these leaders are in Iran, why is it that we are fighting against each other, condemning each other? It's almost like the United States is the bad guy here. Why are we forgetting about Iran? So why we all seem to disagree on how to deal with Iran, we better not disagree on how dangerous Iran is and on how determined it is in its pursuit of nuclear weapons. Now, don't get me wrong, it's bad that we all seem to disagree on how to deal with Iran. It's bad that we don't seem to have a human solution to this. But it's just as bad, if not worse, if we fail to agree that Iran is a dangerous nation. And again, don't get me wrong, the deal was a horrible deal. In fact, if I could explain the deal in the simplest of terms, I'd say this: you had two sides, and one side said, "Look, Iran, we know you've been lying about your nuclear weapons. We know you want to develop nuclear bombs. How about we bribe you from developing those nuclear bombs?" And then you have the other side, Iran, saying, "We are not lying. We are not trying to develop any nuclear weapons. Islam forbids nuclear weapons. All we want is nuclear technology for electricity and for other civilian purposes. But you know what? We'll just sign the deal anyway and take the money." That's a bad dynamic for a deal. The Obama administration said many times that the Iran nuclear deal was not based on trust. In other words, Iran is a dangerous and deceitful nation that shouldn't be trusted. They said that repeatedly. Iran cannot be trusted. So even the people who crafted the deal knew that Iran was deadly dangerous and couldn't be trusted. Or at least that's what they told us. Listen now to what President Obama said in August 2015. This is clip two.
"Among U.S. policymakers, there's never been disagreement on the danger posed by an Iranian nuclear bomb. Democrats and Republicans alike have recognized that it would spark an arms race in the world's most unstable region and turn every crisis into a potential nuclear showdown. It would embolden terrorist groups like Hezbollah and pose an unacceptable risk to Israel, which Iranian leaders have repeatedly threatened to destroy. More broadly, it could unravel the global commitment to nonproliferation that the world has done so much to defend. The question then is not whether to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon, but how.
So while we all seem to disagree on how to deal with Iran, we better not disagree on how dangerous Iran is and on how determined it is in its pursuit of nuclear weapons. We cannot afford to forget that. The Bible discusses just how dangerous Iran is. And the fact that this danger is actually something we all can fairly easily agree on should cause all of us to take what the Bible says about Iran a lot more seriously. Study the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 11, you read about the king of the south. It's referring to Iran as the king of the Middle East. And it describes it as a violent nation that pushes at others until it just has to be stopped with violence. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Iran will be stopped by a whirlwind attack. And the Bible informs us that until then, Iran will continue on its dangerous course. The nuclear deal is not going to stop Iran. Fixing the deal will not stop Iran. Because if the deal is fixed so that it becomes this perfect deal, guess what? Iran would refuse to sign it. One of the reasons why the previous deal was such a bad deal is that it excluded Iran's ballistic missiles. Because Iran needs those ballistic missiles to put its nuclear war at. So that deal totally excluded that, and Iran has continued developing its ballistic missile program. And even now that Iran is seeking to preserve this nuclear deal, it has been adamant in wanting to exclude ballistic missiles in any new deal that might be formed. It doesn't want that. So even if the deal is fixed, even if the deal becomes a good deal, it's been called a bad deal so many times, and that's for a good reason. It's a bad deal. But even if it was fixed to become a good deal, Iran would refuse to sign it. So a deal is not going to stop Iran. Fixing it is not going to stop Iran. Strict sanctions are not going to stop Iran either. And that's part of what the Trump administration has been pushing for. Sanctions might slow Iran down, but they will not stop it. Just like they've never stopped Iran from sponsoring terrorism, and just like sanctions never stopped North Korea from developing nuclear weapons and continuing to develop and test them. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but we'll take a quick break for now, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
The prophet Daniel wrote about a future confrontation between a power in the north and the king of the south. We are now in the time when these two major powers are quickly rising. The king of the south is stirring up trouble even today. It is critical that you know the identity of this prophesied power. For more, request our booklet, King of the South. Visit thetrumpet.com and click the literature tab to select your free booklet.
The Trumpet Daily.
We say that evil is dark, but this metaphor is imprecise. Evil is actually intensely bright, so painfully bright that people look away from it. Many even deny its existence. Why? Because once people acknowledge evil's existence, they know they have to confront it. And most people prefer not to confront evil. That is what led to World War II and the death of 55 million people. Many in the West denied the darkness of Nazism. They looked the other way when that evil could have been stopped and then appeased it as it became stronger. We are reliving 1938, the year that democratic Western nations assured a police state, the Nazi regime, that they would do nothing to prevent its expansion. That year, the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, went to Munich to negotiate with Adolf Hitler. He left believing Hitler's promises of peace in exchange for Germany being allowed to annex large parts of Czechoslovakia. Upon returning to England, Chamberlain announced, "Peace for our time." The 2015 agreement between America, Europe, Russia, China, and Iran mirrors 1938. The Nazi regime was a police state. The Islamic Republic of Iran is a police state. The Nazis' greatest aim was to exterminate the Jews of Europe. Iran's greatest aim is to exterminate the Jewish state. The West dismissed Hitler as the Jews' problem. The West dismisses Iran as Israel's problem. Nazi Germany hated the West and its freedoms. The Islamic Republic of Iran hates the West and its freedoms. Germany sought to dominate Europe. Iran seeks to dominate the Middle East and the Muslim world.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. That clip you just listened to was from Dennis Prager, and he makes a very profound point there at the beginning. He says, "Evil is so intensely and painfully bright that people don't want to look at it. They prefer to not confront it. But evil has got to be confronted. If a nation is an outpost of tyranny or part of the axis of evil, it's got to be confronted." Now let me read a little bit about the latest about the Iran nuclear deal. This is from NBC News. I think it's from Friday. The title says, "Iran gives EU a deadline to salvage the nuclear deal." It reads this: "Iran wants European powers to present it with measures by the end of May to compensate it for the United States abandoning the 2015 nuclear deal," a nuclear senior official said on Friday, adding that Tehran would decide within weeks whether to quit the accord. Since President Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out on May 8th, European powers have been trying to find a way to ensure that Iran still receives economic benefits to persuade it to stay in the deal. But that has proven difficult, with European firms frightened away by U.S. sanctions. Nations that remain in the agreement met on Friday for the first time since Trump left the pact, but diplomats see limited scope for salvaging it. British, Chinese, French, German, and Russian officials will try to flesh out with Iran's deputy foreign minister a strategy to save the deal by keeping oil and investment flowing. It continues and says, "EU leaders have united behind the accord, with Brussels working on measures including banning EU companies from complying with reimposed U.S. sanctions and urging governments to make money transfers to Iran's central bank to avoid fines." Let me read a little bit more. It says, Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei set out conditions on Wednesday for Iran to stay in the deal. He said, "Unless Europe guarantees Iran's oil sales will not be hurt, Tehran would resume enrichment of nuclear material." He also rejected any new negotiations over Iran's missile program, which was not covered by the nuclear deal and which Iran says it will never give up Well, again, the Iran nuclear deal will not stop Iran, and sanctions will not stop Iran. The Bible said that Iran will be confronted by what prophecy calls the King of the North. Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury discussed this in his Key of David television program from January 2016, titled America's Nuclear Agreement with Iran. It's a little bit of a lengthy quote, but it's a good one. So listen to clip three.
Listen to this. If you think we're going to be able to deal with Iran, this is a passage from Ayatollah Khomeini, the one who got all the state sponsoring terrorism started. It quoted in a 11th grade Iranian school book. And is revealing, quote, I am decisively announcing to the whole world that if the world devours, that is the infidel powers like U.S. and the Jews in the Middle East, wish to stand against our religion, we will stand against their whole world and will not cease until the annihilation of all of them. Either we all become free or we will go to the greater freedom, which is martyrdom. Either we shake one another's hands in joy at the victory of Islam in the world, or all of us will turn to eternal life and martyrdom. In both cases, victory and success are ours. That's the King of the South. Another quote from Dory Gold, who wrote, who was Israel's UN ambassador from 1997 through 1999. And he says, the idea that somehow Israel could live with a nuclear Iran is problematic as a possible line of policy. It presupposes that a nuclear Iran can be deterred just like the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Radical Shiite associations in Iran believe in the imminent return of an Islamic savior known as the 12th Imam, or Mahdi, literally the rightly guided. Adherents to these associations, moreover, believe that the Mahdi's arrival can be accelerated by man through apocalyptic chaos and violence. In other words, the more nuclear violence and any kind of violence you have, it's going to hasten the return of their 12th Imam. That's what they believe. And they have suicide bombers that illustrate that all the time. They'll die for that. And they'll certainly commit nuclear arms to trigger World War III. They are going to do that, and that's what Daniel 11 and verse 40 is all about. They trigger it, and then the King of the North is going to start World War III as a result of that, or following that anyhow. Well, anyhow, the previous Iranian president said this, or Dory Gold said of him, Ahmadinejad has stated that our revolution's main mission is to pave the way for the reappearance of the 12th Imam. Now that's the mindset that we're dealing with. That is really a counterfeit of the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you want to know who's behind that, some of those personalities that I talked to you about, he says, thus, anyone who says with confidence that the West can get used to nuclear Iran and rely on classic deterrence models has absolutely no idea what he is up against. He doesn't know. And there was a time, and has been a time in the past, some writers in the Middle East wouldn't even write about this because they said these leaders in Iran were such lunatics. Now, that's what some of them said. Not my words. President Obama said Iran will not get its hands on a nuclear bomb. But look, if you look, they have, according to the news, they have 10,000 centrifuges, and that's going to be reduced to 2,500, they say. But the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Association, not even allowed to test if it is true. The U.S. has to trust Iran in that situation. They have to trust Iran, who is totally untrustworthy, and a terrorist sponsoring nation that now has been brought into the world community as if they're just a normal nation, and they're not a normal nation. And they relish the idea of a nuclear world war. They've lied and cheated about every significant promise they ever made or any agreement they ever made. There's no unfettered access to all military sites. That's what the West wanted, but they didn't get it. You can't go to, oh no, stay away from our military sites. Well, this is a farce. They're supposed to be now go 10 years without building a bomb. Do you think that's going to happen? I tell you, it is not. Bible prophecy says it is not. It is not. But there's good news, and we need to see that. We need to see that good news because they're getting almost, you could say, have control of the Red Sea and the Suez Canal even now. But it, notice it says in verse 1 about a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And God so goes on to say he's going to protect his people.
So that's the good news. God promises protection to his people, to the people who obey him. And all of that trouble that's tied to Iran, the king of the south, and the king of the north, all of that trouble is leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. But there is a lot of trouble, and we all need to understand why that trouble is happening, and we all need to understand who are these nations that cause that trouble that are mentioned in Bible prophecy. Mr. Gerald Fleury wrote about it in his booklet, The King of the South, and if you don't have that booklet, please write for it. It's free. Write for it. Check us out at our website and we'll give it to you for free. The King of the South. It's a very important booklet to have and to understand what the Bible prophecy says about Iran. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments or feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. America's status as the world's lone superpower is rapidly fading. Other nations and groups of nations are angling to fill the void. Rising in the East is an emerging power block of tremendous potential in manpower, economic heft, and military might. Its growing presence is intensifying global competition for resources and for geopolitical influence. Where will this trend lead? What does this mean for you? Biblical prophecy provides a remarkable, penetrating preview of Asia's future. Request a free copy of Russia and China in Prophecy. This book exposes in startling detail what Russia and China are doing and will do, and how they will affect your life. Also, you'll be sent a free one-year subscription to The Trumpet magazine. The Trumpet looks at today's headlines through the clear light of Bible prophecy. The Trumpet will keep you up to date on the continuing rise of the powers in the East by taking a hard look at today's news and comparing it to the prophecies of the Bible. The Trumpet magazine is this world's most informed news magazine. To learn more, request a free copy of Russia and China in Prophecy. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. Act today and request Russia and China in Prophecy. Listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you go online, you can find any update out there about the latest about North Korea. But at the Trumpet, we have analysis that you won't find anywhere else. So I'd like to encourage you to go to thetrumpet.com because we have an article about the latest in North Korea. But before I get into that, let me read to you what you can almost find anywhere else online. This is from the Washington Post, and it's from, I believe it's from today. It says, U.S. officials meet with North Koreans despite uncertainty surrounding the Trump-Kim summit. Now, that summit may actually take place We don't know, but there is that uncertainty. But the article says this: a team of U.S. officials crossed into North Korea on Sunday for talks to prepare for a summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un, as both sides pressed ahead with agreements despite the question marks hanging over the meeting. Sung Kim, a former U.S. ambassador to South Korea and former nuclear negotiator with the North, has been called in from his post as envoy to the Philippines to lead the preparations, according to a person familiar with the agreement, with the arrangements. The talks are focused on what would be the substance of a potential summit between Trump and Kim Jong-un, the issue of North Korea's nuclear weapons program. After Saturday's surprise inter-Korean talks, South Korean President Moon said that Kim was still committed to the complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, but Moon declined to define what complete denuclearization means, suggesting that there are still fundamental gaps on the key issues bedeviling preparations. Crossing the line that separates the two Koreas, Sung Kim met with North Korean foreign minister, who said last week that Pyongyang was reconsidering talks. The two officials know each other well. Both are part of their respective delegations that negotiated the 2005 denuclearization agreement through the six-party framework. Now, we'll just have to continue watching the news and following these developments to see what happens of this. But there is no question about the fact that something went wrong with these nuclear talks with the North Koreans. And Jeremiah Jacques has an article on the Trumpet website. I think it's on the front page right now. And it's titled, "What Went Wrong with North Korea Peace Efforts?" And it's a very, very important article that I'd like to encourage all of you to read, because it explains the most important aspects about it, some of the things that you will not find anywhere else. He writes this: "It's important to remember that back on March 25, before Kim's outreach to South Korea and the United States, he made a surprise visit to China. This was his first foreign trip since assuming power in 2011. It was only after that historic meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping that Kim began reaching out to America and South Korea with offers of peace. Analysts believed at the time that Xi, largely as a result of American insistence, had encouraged Kim to make reforms. It seems that Xi was rattled by Trump's threats of trade war and willing to revoke his backing of the lunatic in North Korea in hopes of clinching a favorable trade deal with Washington." Jeremiah continues, "On May 8th, just before Kim began retracting all those olive branches he had offered, he traveled to China for a second time and met with Xi again. If Xi does not feel genuinely threatened by U.S. leadership, he may be in no hurry to truly withdraw support of the Kim regime. He may be inclined instead to prolong the ambiguity and confusion and to use North Korea's oscillations between charm and threats to distract the Trump administration for as long as possible. Such diversions could allow Xi to cement his hold on the South China Sea and to delay America's imposition of trade tariffs on China for several months." So you can read more on that article from thetrumpet.com. And that article just mentions China's role in all of this, China and Russia. And that's something that we all need to continue to be looking at as this develops, Just look out for China, look out for Russia, and look out for these Asian nations to unite under just having just that one enemy, the United States. They will unite under that and form what the Bible prophesied will be this massive army of Asian nations. So these developments are an important part of Bible prophecy. So just keep watching it as you continue listening and hearing about this summit. Don't forget China's role in it. Don't forget Russia's role in it. So keep an eye on that. So with that, we'll take another quick break and we'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I thought I'll just use the time that I have remaining just to touch on a few news items, just to remind you to keep watching certain parts of the world, like Libya. This article that I have is from Africa News. It says Macron, that's the French president, to host conference on Libya crisis. It says, Libya stakeholders have been invited by French President Emmanuel Macron to the presidential palace in Paris on Tuesday for an international conference that aims to pave the way for elections that could be held in Libya by the end of 2018. According to the French president's office, the aim of this meeting, to be held under the auspices of the United Nations, is to, quote, engage in the implementation of an inclusive political roadmap for a way out of the crisis that has affected the country and the region for many years. So it continues and just says that Macron will host the main rival leaders of Libya, and there are four of them. So Libya is still in crisis. It started off with the Arab Spring, with the removal of Gaddafi, and now we have a country that's just in chaos and vulnerable to influence from foreign powers. And again, Bible prophecy informs us on what will happen in Libya. The Bible, in prophecies in Daniel 11, indicate that Libya will be aligned with Iran, the king of the south, the king of terror, the king of the Middle East. And you can see how Iran can easily manipulate the chaos and take advantage of the chaos in Libya to cement its influence in that region. And already you're seeing Europe, which is what the Bible calls the king of the north, you're seeing Europe taking more involvement, being more involved in trying to resolve this conflict. And again, Bible prophecy does say that the king of the north will clash with the king of the south. So just keep your eye out for what's happening in Libya. And don't forget Yemen. Yemen is another country that's in that region that has been ravaged by war for years. Here's an article from the Middle East Eye. It says, Yemen cannot wait for aid any longer. Once labeled the forgotten war for its lack of international attention, Yemen's conflict has led to a humanitarian crisis so vast it is now impossible to ignore. Due to its rapid growth and devastating nature, there is an urgent need to contain it. In response to an increased awareness of Yemeni's suffering, aid groups have been bravely operating amid battle lines, aiming to relieve the suffering of those in desperate need despite various obstructions. Iran is sponsoring the Houthi rebels who have taken over the capital city of Yemen and many other parts of Yemen, and you have a Saudi-led coalition joining in the fight, trying to remove Iran and the Houthis from Yemen. So this is another part of the world that we do not want to ignore, not just because of the humanitarian crisis there, but also because of Iran's involvement in it and what the Bible says about Iran's involvement in Yemen and in Libya and in that region in the Middle East. I think I only have time for maybe one more article, and this one is about Ebola. I thought I would I'll bring this to your attention. The Ebola death toll reaches 12 in Congo. This is talking about the Democratic Republic of Congo, and it's from Time magazine. It says, another person has died in Congo of a confirmed case of Ebola, bringing the number of fatalities from the latest outbreak to 12. The death happened in a rural area in the northeastern provinces of Congo. It says that Congo now has 35 confirmed cases of Ebola. So that's another development that we do not want to forget. There's so much happening in the world, so much happening in the United States, so much happening in the Middle East. So don't forget about some of these things happening in Libya and in Yemen and this outbreak of Ebola in Congo. The Bible also talks about disease outbreaks, and it's something that we all need to watch out for, and it's something that we all need to think about, because God in those same prophecies promises to protect us from all of these things. He promises to give protection to his people from war and from diseases. So what a wonderful God we have, and it's wonderful that we can have this understanding that God revealed to us from the Bible. And we have a lot of that material on thetrumpet.com. So do visit us on thetrumpet.com. And that's all we have today. And thank you very much for joining us on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Again, if you'd like to email the program, send your comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thanks for joining us. Have a good day.